city finds itself on the brink of war. And in that moment, two young people meet and begin to fall in love. A curfew is imposed. Some start to pray as they see their home begin to change, and not for the better. Then the fighting breaks out. Drones in the sky and bombs at night. The city falls into the hands of militants, and people begin to be executed on the streets. The young couple talk about fleeing. They have heard there are doors popping up all over the city. Such doors can lead to another place, a better place without war and restrictions. They make contact with an agent who can help them to such a door, for the right price, of course. They arm and they are. It would mean for the man Saeed leaving his dad behind. His dad refuses to leave the city where his wife lived and so recently died in. But his dad insists Saeed must go. There is no future in this city for the young. And so the couple approach the agent again, and the agent leads them to a door in an abandoned dentist's clinic. The woman, Nadia, steps towards the store. And we read in Hammond's beautiful book, Exit West. Drawing close, she was struck by its darkness, its opacity, the way that it did not reveal what was on the other side and also did not reflect what was on this side, and so felt equally like a beginning and an ending. And she turned to Saeed and found him staring at her, and his face was full of worry and sorrow. And she took his hands in hers and held them tight, releasing them. And without a word, she stepped through. There's something appealing about a magical door, isn't there? The possibility of escape or of adventure, it resonates. Slipping from one place to another, it sounds wonderful. Who wouldn't turn the knob and step through an unknown doorway when your life is at risk and your home is falling apart? Although in Hammond's book, there are lots of these doors appearing across the world, and the doors are causing chaos because suddenly there is an influx of migrants pouring into wealthy countries, and these wealthy countries are not happy about what to them seems like an invasion, are pouring into their country of undesirables. So they seek to monitor and curtail such people's freedom as quickly as possible. Barricade the doors, post guards, shut it down. Strip the world of wonder. Sometimes it seems like we're really good at doing that. Magic resides only in children's books. It's something we're expected to grow out of. There's very few, if any, wild places left, untouched by humans. We like to control and predict things, keep everything tidy. But this is not how Jesus teaches. For Jesus, there is a door worth opening. Here he is, sitting on a mountainside. Blue sky above, grass underneath, maybe a glimpse of the Lake of Galilee in the distance. The crowds have come because they've heard wondrous things about Jesus, like how he can heal people and the way he speaks. Nobody else speaks like him. Jesus jumps from thought to thought, from command to metaphor, from law to intention. One minute he is addressing personal morals, the next public ethics. He speaks in stories and cryptic sayings which people have to puzzle out. It is wild. There he is talking about not throwing pearls to pigs. And then he is speaking about mysterious doors, Matthew 7, verse 7. Ask and it will be given to you. Seek and you will find. Knock and the door will be opened to you. So let me ask, and this is a question you can discuss in your groups. What happens if there was a magical door? Would you knock on it? What would you do? Would you open it up? Would you step through it? Let me give you a moment to discuss that question in your groups. For Jesus, There's more to this world than just meets the eye. There is a spiritual dimension. He begins his public ministry declaring the kingdom of heaven is near. And when people stare blankly at him, he tries to find ways to explain what he means. So he says now, there are doors you can find. Doors you can knock on and open that will lead you to God. God is closer than you might think. Heaven is closer than you might think. It is all around you. The ancient world had a much greater awareness of a spiritual dimension than we tend to. Some of the oldest doors in the world are fake doors, doors carved into Egyptian tombs, created because it was believed that the spirits of the dead needed help to walk through the doorway that leads to the afterlife. Jesus invites people to press into wonder and mystery, to pursue what is good and true. I'm giving you the keys, says Jesus. I'm teaching you all I know, and I'm giving you space to respond to all that I've been saying. You want to know more? Ask, and we can chat further. Seek, keep exploring, keep your eyes open in wonder. This is so important when it comes to faith and character transformation. Wonder. Wonder about the world and about God. Ask questions about what it means to live a good life. Notice those doors that point to God, point to grace and the kingdom of heaven, and open them. Faith is an adventure. That's what Jesus invites us into. I was looking after my baby niece the other day. She was sick with a bad cough, so I went up to the Central Coast to help my sister while she went to work. And I sat on the couch in the lounge room, cradling the baby while she slept and slept. It was a cold day and I was trying to huddle in the warmth when someone knocked on the door. I wasn't expecting anyone. I hadn't ordered any takeaway. And so my first thought was that it was someone trying to sell me something, maybe like a religious person. Reluctantly, I got up and Callista woke up and the dog started barking. I managed to open the door. And there's this woman bending over and she's talking, but I'm confused at first, trying to figure out what she is doing. And then I realize she thinks I'm my sister and she's come to drop off a bag of groceries for a meal that night because she just heard that the baby was sick. She stops halfway as she realizes I'm not Belinda and she's confused, and then we start again. She's a mum from the dancing school all my nieces are involved in. Just like that, she hears about Callista being sick and she steps in and helps. That's grace. That's the kingdom of heaven right here in an unexpected place. Opening the front door. When we think about what it means to live a good life, it's not just measured or contained by what we can see right now. The consequences of our lives run deeper, deep into heaven itself. And heaven is a lot closer than we might think. Matthew 7, verse 8. For everyone who asks receives, the one who seeks finds, and the one who knocks, the door will be opened. Jesus isn't giving a nice, neat formula which we can control and use. This is not a three-step prayer guide for you to follow. It's more about the posture we take and the posture God takes to us. So again, here's a question for your groups. When you think about doors and unexpected encounters with God, does something come to mind for you? Maybe something that happened this week? Have you had a moment where you thought, this is grace. This is the kingdom of God right here. Let me give you a chance for you to talk about it in your groups. Jesus wants us to know the posture God takes to us. God is open. God answers. God responds to us. No barricades here. The poor are welcomed. There's nobody who's going to close the door. There are no guards going to stop you going through. All those who've suffered or been persecuted because of righteousness, the door stands wide open. Throughout Jesus' sermon, he has been giving us a glimpse of God and the new world God yearns for. This is what the heavenly life is like. It's heaven and earth coming together, and we are invited to receive and step into this new life. This is what we mean when we talk about character transformation. There have been many magnificent doors created throughout history, but one pair of doors described by Michelangelo as the gates to paradise are found in Florence. In the early 1400s, there was a competition. All the best artists competed. And finally, Ghiberti, just 21 years old, won. He dedicated the next 20 years to working on these doors, creating 28 bronze panels with gold overlaid, depicting famous scenes from the New Testament, telling the story of Jesus and the kingdom of heaven bursting into the world. People loved his work so much, he was then commissioned for a second pair of doors, which he spent 27 years working on. These doors had just 10 scenes from the Old Testament. These doors came to represent the beginning of a new era, the Renaissance, a new world bursting through. The Christian life is meant to be something new and life-giving, filled with the presence of God. The door opens and we can walk into something new. Matthew 7, verse 9. Which of you, if your son asks for bread, will give him a stone? Or if he asks for fish, will give him a snake? If you then, though you are evil, know how to give good gifts to your children, how much more will your Father in heaven give good gifts to those who ask him? Stepping through a doorway can be scary if you are unsure about what you receive on the other side, right? Like stepping into a job interview or review or opening that door and walking through can be really daunting. Some doors are imposing. They're designed to keep people out. Some doors we wouldn't knock on or couldn't even reach because of all the security. In a sense, a door can also separate people, determine who is in and who is out. A door can slam in our faces or remain locked. But surely, says Jesus, your family, the ones who love you, their door is never shut. Maybe you even get the key. I have several keys to my mother's house, to my sister's house, because of that relationship. There are some doors I know I can randomly turn up and knock on if I really needed it. There are some people who know my favorite meals, what I like to eat and what I don't eat. Well, that, but more, says Jesus. That is what God is like. God is like a good father. God delights to give. God is generous. This is fundamental to God's character. I think sometimes we need to be blown away once more by who God is. I know we've been talking a lot about our characters this term and longing to see change in who we are, but no matter how we are feeling or how we are going in that, whether we feel like we're growing and changing or just falling back into the same struggles, Jesus throughout the sermon keeps pointing us to God. God gives us his comfort when things are hard, fills us with a hunger for righteousness and also satisfies it. God is merciful and pure, the peacemaker, good, the light of the world, the one who has already given the people of Israel the Torah. God is slow to anger and abounding in love. God forgives and offers us reconciliation. God is faithful to the promises made, who loves even enemies, who resists what is evil in surprising ways. God cares for the vulnerable and delights to communicate with us. God is unanxious, a good judge, holy and so, so generous. And we get to know Jesus. We have been gifted with the Holy Spirit. What a wonder and marvel it is to know God. As we open the door and allow God into our lives, we then are able to live like this. Matthew 7, verse 12. So in everything do to others, what you would have them do to you. For this sums up the law and the prophets. If you want to sum it up in one line, everything Jesus has been teaching, here it is. No more cryptic sayings or metaphors. Here it is simply. Treat others as you would want to be treated. Love others as you want to be loved. Actually, living this way is how we join with what God is doing. We can reach out to others and give. We can open up our doors and welcome people in. We can fill the world with a little bit more wonder and hope. The kingdom of heaven is near. This type of life comes as we draw close to God, and so Jesus invites us to come and ask God for what we need. What would you ask God for this morning? What do you need? As you think about doors opening and the kingdom of heaven coming and our characters changing, what good gifts do you long for? I'm going to spend some time now asking that question to one another in our groups, and then praying for one another. Let's do that now.